spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Star, we're starting a little late, a little technical difficulty this morning, but we're back on track. We've got a great show planned today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking a lot about women and hormones. During the first half hour, we'll have Dr. Annette Langer-Gould on to talk about hormonal contraception and the linkage to multiple sclerosis susceptibility. Then we're going to change it up a little bit and look at the effects of continuing hormone therapy on cerebral function in postmenopausal women at risk of dementia. Then during the second hour, we're going to do something we love talking about, and that is the microbiome of the body when we talk about genetic dysbiosis. So you're not going to want to miss that. And we're going to get right to the first interview with Dr. Annette Langer-Gould from the prestigious Kaiser Permanente in Southern California. How you doing, Dr. Langer-Gould?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so this is really interesting. We see a surge in the development of multiple sclerosis in women. And so your group, I guess, started to look at the linkage between hormonal-based contraceptives, right?
Yes, correct.
So tell us about was this a review of literature, or was this an actual study that you performed?
No, this was an actual study that we performed from the people that are members in Kaiser. So we have a really great electronic medical record system, and we can see all of their prescription drug use. And also, I'm able to review all the records and figure out who developed multiple sclerosis or MS-like illnesses. And so we looked back at all the women who had their first symptom of MS between 2008 and 2011, and then looked back 10 years to see what their hormonal contraceptive use patterns were, and you know how many kids they had, how many miscarriages they had, and compared that then to five matched controls, so women that are a lot like them but had not developed MS symptoms during that time period.
So what did you find out at a top-line summary?
That using hormonal contraceptives, mostly women were using a combination estrogen-progestin pill, increases the risk slightly by about 30% of developing your first symptoms of MS.
Okay, now obviously one of the things that is always underlying the discussion about women and hormones is two things, actually, not one thing. It's number one, the types of hormones, i.e., equine estrogens, et cetera, and or synthetics like progestins or synthetic progesterone, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Correct.
And then also the delivery mechanism, right? These methylated delivery orals tend to change hepatic landscape that pose their own risks with inflammation and thrombotic index and so on, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So did you segregate out for that? Did you look at that and say, well, these women are using bioidenticals, which I know no one really pays attention to. These ones are using equine estrogens, and these are using, progestins and so on?
We did, actually. So just to summarize, we had about 400 women that developed MS. So when every time we start breaking them down into the small groups, we get less certain about what the findings really mean. What I'd say is that we have very few women, almost all the women used a regular pill where there was a combination of a synthetic estrogen. So I don't think we hardly had any women on the equine estrogen.
Okay.
With a large variety in the progestin compounds that were included in the pills.
But the majority of them were using a synthetic estrogen. And so it's safe to say that a portion of them were also using a synthetic progestin, right?
Yes. Most of them were using a combination of both. Yeah.
And I can see what you're saying. If you start to segregate these out into the groups, then the weight of the information becomes less and less because these groups are smaller and smaller.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So was there any indication that that there was any direction in that area at all? I realize you can't give it too much gravity, but did you see a slightly higher peak in women who were using synthetic versus natural forms or bioidentical forms of estrogen?
No, there was no difference by estrogens. We did see a slight difference by the type of progestin they were using. There's a particular type of estrogen called norethindrone, which is very common. It has androgenic properties, but it's not as androgenic as some of the other ones. And in that case, when they used that type of progestin, they did not have an increased risk, but risk was the same. But all the other types, we did see that sort of small bump in increased risk.
Now, what about the fact that, didn't you also look at the susceptibility of those women who actually stopped whatever they were taking within a certain period of time before the research was done, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, we looked at ever, never, and then current former users. If they had ever used, that's where the risk comes in, even if they had stopped within the 3 years prior to symptom onset. So, just to say that makes me a little suspicious when you see sort of this flip. It's like somebody turned on a light switch. What we're really looking at is a factor that reflects a modern woman's lifestyle. That it's not entirely clear that this is really the oral contraceptive, or is it something else that goes along with the lifestyle of a woman who doesn't want to get pregnant? Causing this.
Which is true of any study that is more epidemiological in nature, because we don't know if things are corollary or causative just because they happen in these patterns, right?
Right. And so one of the things that we do when we do these epidemiological studies is we look for a dose effect. So women who were on it longer or who used more total, particularly if the only reason they had breaks was to have pregnancies, would they be at even higher risk than the women who had just used a relatively short period of time? And when we compare the longest users with the shortest users, we didn't really see a difference in risk.
What about unopposed? Did you look at unopposed estrogen versus unopposed progestins? Because there has been some other research out there about unopposed progestins being somewhat problematic in cognitive function and so on.
Yeah, so that's a good question. It turns out that there are very few women that were using the progestin onlys, and so we didn't. There are such a small number of them that I'm not really certain. And we only had 24 women who had ever used a progestin-only type of contraception. So that's like so small; it's hard to know what that would mean, right?
Okay.
And we didn't see it. We didn't see a difference. But then that's only 24 people.
Here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will summarize the research, and I want to ask you also what you hope that both lay people and clinicians take away from this research. We're talking right now with Dr. Annette Langer-Gould. She is with the Kaiser Permanente Southern California Department of Research and Evaluation. We're talking about if there is any linkage between multiple sclerosis susceptibility in women who have used or are currently using hormonal contraception. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Where mind, muscle, and body come for intense training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. We'll be right back.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Pack. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch, you can get it for free, a 30-day supply for free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad and use the coupon code SR30. Find out what the rage is all about when it comes to weight loss. We're talking right now with Dr. Annette Langer-Gould. We're talking about hormonal contraceptives and multiple sclerosis susceptibility. So, in summary of your findings, do you feel that it is fair to say that there is some sort of link in the rise in incidence of MS in women and contraceptives?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that. I think it's a small piece of the puzzle, but that, you know, exactly. And I think the question about the brands, whether the type of progesterone makes a difference, is something that's definitely worth exploring. I mean,
it's got to, Dr. Langer-Gould, because let's think about it. Endogenous estrogen, we know, is actually neuroprotective in women. We know that endogenous progesterone is also very important and protective hormone. And if these two hormones themselves, in and of themselves, were culprits here, then women, when they go through puberty, would start to develop these disorders. So we have to say, well, what's the missing piece here? The missing piece is that we're using agents that maybe are foreign to the body and preparations that maybe cause additional problems. So I think you're right. I think that this, if anything, says we need to dig deeper now.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that's
what future studies do you have set up? I mean, you obviously have this great base of people out there.
Yeah, we have a big study going on right now called the MS Sunshine Study, where we're going out into the community and recruiting the patients that have been newly diagnosed and putting them through a lengthy questionnaire with a lot of questions about hormonal factors and, again, with matched controls. So we can get a much more detailed picture of their lifetime hormonal hormone use, not hormonal contraceptives, dietary supplements, and fertility. Along with, you know, how long they nursed, to try and understand whether we're talking about specific androgenic or estrogenic properties that may be playing a role, or is it anovulation that's sort of the key, that the less you ovulate, that sort of, that somehow having babies is protective, but it's more linked to anovulation, or, you know, are we talking about a specific hormonal factor or just a general state? of anovulation. So
obviously, this is not a popular topic because so many women, who do not want to have children, and so I mean, we're talking about married couples who are not ready to have children, turn to typically some sort of hormonal contraceptive. The woman is, you know, usually bears the burden of this, and you know, it's something that this is really a problem of modernity. You know, oh, we don't want to have babies, so we stop the menstrual process. I mean, I can't believe it's good for women's bodies. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, and that's the part that's unclear. I mean, it's clearly linked to other diseases, breast cancer in particular, but whether how that would factor into autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis mm-hmm. is still unclear. And mm-hmm. and it's all complex relationships. So that's what we're trying to get at the MS Sunshine Study, because also obesity, a sedentary lifestyle, being indoors and having low vitamin D, and how that all – those are all hormonal factors with pro-inflammatory properties. How you maybe you need four or five of those things to come together, and adding in the wrong kind of oral contraceptive, it becomes one of those redundant factors.
Yeah.
And then you see the increase in risk. So that's
I have to agree. You know, and what you're talking about is something that typically science doesn't pay attention to. What you're talking about is all these variables and observing them all together and also independently to see what their contribution is, because typically science likes to find one thing. Well, we found this, we found it, you know, we found the gene responsible for this. And you're right. I really think that when we look at a lot of the diseases of modernity, I hate to keep using this term because it's overused, but we've created a perfect storm for disease today because of our lifestyles, the things that we expose ourselves to, you know, pesticides and lack of sleep, and I mean, the list goes on and on. We are really mismatched for what we've created today.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That particularly autoimmune diseases.
Yeah.
As infections go down, autoimmune diseases go up, and there's that it's a lot more complicated than that.
What do you want? What do you want both clinicians and lay people to take away from this research? Obviously, there's women who are going to get panicked because they're on some form of a hormonal contraception right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the general landscape of evidence, there's no reason to change hormonal use contraceptive policies based on this study. And I would not panic, that somehow MS would go up. What I would say is that, if you have a strong family history of multiple sclerosis, you may want to look into other forms of contraception, like a NuvaRing or something. Mm-hmm. Something else that's maybe a little lower dosed, but again, the main issues really are smoking, and if you're Caucasian or you're light skinned, low vitamin D. Those are going to be your main things. And get your vitamin. Don't just take a supplement. Really spend a little more time in the sun.
Yes,
that's whether or not it's all about vitamin D. We don't know. It looks like it may actually be. There may be other things about being in the sun that are protective as well.
Yes, yes. You're talking to somebody who just came back from Mexico, and I look like I belong in Mexico right now. It's so dark. So luckily for me, I'm Italian, and 2 days in the sun, and I get so dark. But yeah, you're right. We become so sun phobic. And it's, we evolved under the sun. If it was really that bad for us, we wouldn't be here having this conversation today. We would have been wiped off the planet already. So anyway.
That's right.
I want to thank you for coming on the show today and talking about this. This is a very, very important discussion. And obviously, as you say, people shouldn't run out there and abandon, but maybe look into alternative methods of contraception.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're
today.
Welcome. Right, okay, bye-bye. Bye.
All right. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Natalie Rasgen from Stanford University to talk about the effects of continuing hormone therapy on cerebral function in postmenopausal women and those who are at risk of dementia. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
So these people, they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, your cholesterol is kind of high, and you fall into this group here, and under the new guidelines, we need to prescribe you a statin drug. And the person doesn't go, I don't want a statin drug. They don't even go, let me look into it, doc, before you write that prescription. They don't say anything. They go, oh, okay, and they take it.
Carl gives advice about how to talk to your doctor.
In what other area of your life do you take what someone else says
that's selling you a service of gospel truth. You pull into the mechanic, and you know all you need is your tire change. And the mechanic says, but you also need a complete engine overhaul. And you go, all right, what's it going to cost? $3,000. Okay, I guess you got to do it. No, you go, I don't need an engine overhaul. Just change my tire so I can get out of here. But no one talks to their doctors like that.
Keep listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching, muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl. The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP-certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad. Today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. .net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, if you don't already have the Superhuman Radio Network app, you can stream the live show, manage the podcast, communicate with me on air. Go to your choice of Google Play or the Apple store and download the Superhuman Radio Network app today. It's free. Check it out. Okay, my next guest is Dr. Natalie Rasgen. She's with Stanford Center for Neuroscience and Women's Health in Stanford University in California. How you doing, Dr. Rasgen?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is an important discussion, too, because, you know, hormone replacement therapy is becoming more and more popular today, and there's lots of unanswered questions out there. Your group did a study looking at the effects of continuing hormone therapy on cerebral function in postmenopausal women at risk of dementia. How did you assess that these particular women were at risk, at greater risk of dementia?
So this study was kind of a natural follow-up from the previous studies we've done when I was at UCLA, and we were looking at people at familial risk for Alzheimer's disease. By familial risk, we meant having at least one first-degree family member who had Alzheimer's dementia.
Uh-huh.
And so we continued looking at the effects of hormone therapy, specifically with relation to the estrogen component of hormone therapy, on the pivotal function in the brain in women who were at such risk. Risk was also defined as having a genetic factor, which is called APOE4. It's a well-known gene conferring the increased risk for Alzheimer's.
Now, did you control for different types of hormone therapy, you know, bioidentical versus synthetic, and or if these were methylated orals versus creams and stuff like that?
Well, it's a good question. So the purpose of this study, and that study was initiated about 10 years ago, was to understand what is really going on in the brain when women discontinue hormone therapy. That was kind of a response, if you will, to the data which came at that time from WHI, which was a Women's Health Initiative study suggesting that estrogen was very detrimental to the brain function, increased dementia, probability of dementia, increased probability of stroke. So we were interested to see, so if women are going to stop their hormones, what exactly is going to happen? Now, by the virtue of not so to speak discriminating against women who were taking various preparations, we allowed any type of hormone therapy to be present at the time we enrolled these women. We had two major caveats for the enrollment. One was they had to be on hormones for at least one full year. And two, they had to start those hormones at the time when they were becoming menopausal.
Ah.
So those were the criteria. What happened after that, we randomized these women to stay on what they were receiving or to go off.
Okay, that's perfect. Those are really two critical, especially starting at menopause, you know, whether it's perimenopause or the beginning of amenorrhea, that's a critical point right there, because we know that a lot of the conferred benefits of HRT in women are lost and actually could become dangerous detriments if they wait too long to start their hormone replacement therapy. So what did you find?
So, yes, just to enthusiastically endorse what you just said, Carl, exactly. So I'm among many proponents of what is called window of opportunity for estrogen to work. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, one of the main explanations to why when a woman is taking hormones later in life, starts later after a certain period of not taking anything and not having her natural hormones being produced anymore, it may have completely opposite effect. Not just on the brain, but maybe on other tissues.
The
as
heart
well.
And everything, yeah. So.
Heart and everything else. But so what we found was, so the idea was to see if those who continue on estrogen will have differential presentation of the metabolism in their brain in the regions which are responsible for the cognition, for the memory, for the executive function, etc. And we did not necessarily anticipate that it would depend on the type of hormone therapy. To our surprise, we actually found it at both endpoints. We found at the baseline assessment that women who were on estradiol-based hormones had more optimal patterns of metabolism in the brain in comparison to those who were on Premarin. And that finding was repeated at the follow-up. And each woman stayed in the study for 2 years.
I love that. You know, because we had someone on during the first half hour talking about hormonal contraception and its potential linkage to the risk or susceptibility of multiple sclerosis. And the reality is that we endogenous hormones are protective. And when we replace, we have to adhere to trying to replace with what looks to the body to be as closely mimicking what is endogenous to us. And when we use equine estrogens and or synthetic estrogen and progestins, the body doesn't act the same as if it was what the body thinks belongs there. And I think that that we could safely say plays out in what you just said, that the Premarin is Prempro is progestin, Zensin, and equine estrogen. I guess Premarin is just the equine estrogen, right?
Yes, it's a conjugated equine estrogen. It has about 33 compounds. 17 of them are biologically active.
Right.
And estradiol is only one of those 17.
Right. And I don't know if this is true or not, but some of those other estrogens don't occur in humans. They only occur in horses.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So humans have only three types of biologically active estrogen.
Right. Estrone, estradiol, and estriol.
That's correct.
Okay, so what else did you find? Anything that really surprised you?
So that was one of the biggest surprises we had. The other was the fact that we actually were able to look at the difference in metabolism between the women who were staying on estradiol and the women who went off estradiol. Mm. So in what I'm saying is that women who went off estradiol at 2 years of not receiving hormones, their metabolism, their profiles were similar to women who stayed on Premarin. So in a way, we indirectly additionally support the WHI memory study results, which looked only on Premarin.
Right.
And said that, well, in those women who were on Premarin, the risk for developing dementia is higher. So we have now kind of an additional objective marker of such potential increased risk.
And at the same time, validated that estradiol in and of itself is protective to some way, and we know it's protective. I mean, there's research out of Canada that people don't even pay attention to about Parkinson's disease and estradiol being protective of the brain. And I know that one of the ways it's protective is through a receptor called the fibroblast activation factor, FAF, which it can actually suppress inflammation acutely and spontaneously. It's like we know that estradiol is good. And your research shows yet again the difference between estradiol and these other agents. I love it.
Yeah, so I think that estrogen in general is kind of misconstrued a bit because it is truly a very powerful player in the brain in many, many aspects, and not just in the brain, but specifically to neuroscience. It's a very powerful potentiator of growth. It has antidepressant effects and multiple other effects. Some of them are better known in humans, some less. But I think the occult approach to estrogen being all good or bad is a misleading one,
right,
and could be potentially dangerous. And I think that our study is just bringing this granularity to the fact that some women, in fact, may benefit from it. It doesn't mean that every woman can.
Okay. All right. We have to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got lots more to talk about. We're talking right now with Dr. Natalie Rasgen. We're talking about continuing hormone therapy. This is for postmenopausal women at risk of dementia, how it affects their brain function. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I bet you're feeling stronger already. So keep listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD and neither should you.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
S-T-E-D-C. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Natalie Rasgen about HRT and potentially its effects on dementia and brain function in postmenopausal women. Did you look at opposed versus unopposed in this group? Were you able to?
Yes, we did. Actually, we did. And we found that, unfortunately, it's a statement which may cause anxiety in some women, but it's the biologically plausible explanation that progesterone, or progestin rather, has opposite effect on brain function from what estrogen does. And that's kind of known in the general biology sense. Progesterone and progesterone components are having very different effects than what estrogen does, but we were able to see that in women.
Well, but wait a minute. You said specifically progestin, which is a synthetic progesterone, right?
Right. So, okay, let me try to explain it. We actually, vast majority, except one subject in the study was taking micronized progesterone. Everyone else was on progestin.
Right.
Progestin is a synthetic. It's a salt of progesterone, one way or the other. There are various types of it. And that's the most common component of the hormone therapy. The reason is that progesterone itself, and in the past, in the 50s and the 60s, women were taking estradiol and progesterone as a hormone replacement therapy. Progesterone itself has a lot of side effects. And so pharma, for quite a long time, were trying to find something more digestible to women. So it has less bloating, less potential acne and headaches, etc. So the progestins are the most predominantly used components in hormone therapy.
Right, but and the reason the question was meant to be rhetorical only because once again we're getting into what the body naturally. Okay, I understand the negative side effects of orally administered progesterone. Number one, it is not very bioavailable. For every 100 milligrams, maybe 2 milligrams actually ends up in the bloodstream. So economically, it's not a good thing for pharmaceutical industry to waste so much. And that's why the methylation process was such a boon for the pharmaceutical industry, but also not a boon for your liver. But with that being the case, orally administered progesterone seems to be metabolized through the liver in such a way that predisposes it to some of these side effects. I guess what needs to be done now is to segregate, and we should have a large enough a body of women out there today who are on transdermally delivered progesterone to look at the differences in this group versus those who are taking orally delivered either methylated or base non-methylated to see what the differences in those are. Because I have to come back and say that anytime we introduce something that the body does not recognize as its own, we raise a host of problems. And I have to believe that progesterone in and of itself, this is not an indictment against progesterone, but the way we administer it today.
I don't disagree with you, Carl. The issue is that it's more of a commercial issue rather than a science issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The progestins are here to stay, I think, and progesterone patch, to my knowledge, is not widely used, or if at all. Estrogen patch is used. Estrogen testosterone patch is used.
Right.
But progesterone, I don't think so. Actually, micronized progesterone is a kind of a chemically altered form of a pure progesterone, which has much less side effects, and it is, I think, preferable component of the hormone therapy for women who need it.
Right.
There are a whole host of other questions which I won't go into, which is where the woman really needs progesterone. So, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, I know, because that's a slippery slope, because there are groups out there who say, well, unopposed estrogen is where the problems occur in the uterus, and then others who say no, progesterone causes more problems than it's worth. So I know it's amazing, but the fact that we're having this discussion is very, very important, that people are looking into this, because as you pointed out, back in the 50s, they gave women this stuff and they said, look, you know, it's in your head if you have a side effect. It's in your head. At least people are taking it seriously and going, well, maybe there's something different about this progesterone versus that progesterone.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely. I think we're at a better place now.
Yeah. So what do you hope that clinicians and lay people take away from this research? It sounds to me that this is a win for continued hormone replacement therapy as far as brain function goes.
Yes, I think that is a safe conclusion to make from the study. The question is, who are the people who are taking it? So I would hope that those women who have increased risk for dementia. Now, I want to bring up a point of distinction. None of these women were cognitively impaired.
Right.
These were 45 to 65-year-old, high-functioning, well-educated women, which reflects the population of women taking hormone therapy.
Right.
And they were not even significantly overweight, just to tell you. And these women were at heightened risk for dementia. It doesn't at all mean that they would inevitably develop dementia.
Right.
And I think it's a very important point of distinction for all the listeners and anyone who reads the article. On the other hand, I say that those who are at increased risk, and there are multiple risk factors which could be contributing to that heightened risk, should review with their providers the reasons whether to be or not to be on hormone therapy, and especially for menopausal women who just begin their transition into postmenopause, to consider doing that if they have elevated risk for Alzheimer's disease. Because let me mention one study we published, about 8 or 9 years ago. That was a large study at the Karolinska in Swedish Twin Registry, where we looked at elderly twins. Some of them were taking hormones and some were not. And what, and we looked at their cognitive impairment at about 10 to 30 years post the fact they started taking hormones. And the, we, there was a clear correlation between those who were taking hormones at the time of their potential menopausal transition, far projected into their 70s and 80s. So there is a potential to say that if a woman takes estrogen at the right time, it may, in fact, preserve her certain cognitive functioning.
Yeah, and, I don't mean to oversimplify things because I'm not a scientist, but I look at a lot of things through the evolutionary, my evolutionary sunglasses, you know, and I think to myself, you know, if you look at us as a species and you say, look, we have one job, and that is to procreate, to continue the species. We stay healthy until that. Then we extrapolate from that and say, well, sex steroids, sex hormones are part of that. And they start to wane when it's time for us to clear off the planet. Then we know that hormones are messengers. And if you keep those messengers working longer, telling the body, hey, you're not on the other side of the hill yet. You still could have a baby. You still are, you know, you're still functioning. You're still, the body continues to repair itself. Now, how long that will go on for, we don't know. But it makes perfect sense to me that estrogen is neuroprotective. In fact, we did a show just recently that showed that hormone replacement therapy in men, which is generally just testosterone, many of the benefits experienced from hormone replacement therapy in men is from testosterone's conversion through aromatase to estrogen.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, we really need to understand that.
That's one of the best kept secrets.
Yeah.
Right? Men are smarter than women because they have more estrogen.
No, women are smarter than men because they have more estrogen.
Yeah, but in aging, men continue having testosterone, which gets, as you just said, aromatized into estrogen.
Yes, and as we get older, it aromatizes more and more. And as women get older, they have less and less. And this is one we talked about on the show that estrogen is lipolytic. And that's why when women go through menopause, they put on weight because estrogen drops. And the body is trying to increase estrogen by increasing fat storage because aromatase lives in fat cells.
That is correct.
So, I mean, it's just, but we have to, at the same time, we can't go, oh, then everybody take it. No, we have to tread lightly. We have to figure out what the body works best with and not make assumptions in either direction. And research like this helps us do that. I love this stuff.
Yeah, so just to add to your evolutionary concept, it's a fascinating fact that although the duration of life for women especially is dramatically increased in comparison to, say, 100 years ago,
right?
It's moving towards almost doubling, right? The age at menopause is very evolutionary set at about 51. So what happens is that women spend more and more time of their lives in postmenopause, and I think that protecting that time from age-related changes is very important.
And I went to the Ancestral Health Symposium in Atlanta last year, and one of the discussions they had was that is actually part of our the evolution that's occurring right now in women, because it takes more resources to raise children today, so grandmothers are more important to the raising of children and hence live longer beyond their offspring years. So to help the daughters raise their children.
It's fascinating. It is
fascinating. It really is. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. First of all, I love this kind of research. I think it's fantastic. And we need more of it. We really do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye bye.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to change it up and talk about another love of mine, and that is the microbiome of the body, as we talk about the role of the microbial insult in chronic inflammatory disease. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's got the information that's perfectly healthy for you to snack on. He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin, releasing hormone. That in turn turbocharges how much testosterone you can make in a clinical trial. This resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
It was a moonlit night in Old Mexico.
Yes, and I just returned from Mexico, and I am tan, baby. My southern Italian blood, when I get under the sun for a couple days, I change colors. People don't even recognize me right now. Okay, welcome back, welcome back. Just a reminder that the Age Force Fat Burner Patch, a 30-day free trial, go to superhumanradio.com, click the Age Force banner ad, use the coupon code SR30, and get a 30-day supply free. Check it out yourself. And find out why everybody is raving over how quickly they lose body fat using the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Okay, continuation of a discussion that we love having on this show, and it is about the new frontier, in my opinion, and that is the microbes that live inside our body, the microbiome, and we are being joined by Dr. Luigi Nabale, all the way from Italy. How are you doing, Dr. Nabale?
Very well, thank you. Nice to hear that you also have southern Italian origins.
Ah, yes, I'm Calabrese.
Calabrese, oh, that's where I was born.
Oh, really? So they say testa dura, testa dura, right? Hard-headed
testa
Calabrese.
Testa dura, molto dura.
That's it, that's it. Anyway, so we're talking about a paper that you have just published, Genetic Dysbiosis, the Role of Microbial Insults in Chronic Inflammatory Diseases. What exactly is genetic dysbiosis? Let's start there.
Genetic dysbiosis is a term that we coined for this particular paper because we realized how important the host genotype is on the colonization of bacteria in our body. So this is something we came to after many years of research. I have to say I'm a dentist, so I'm not a microbiologist, but I became more and more interested in microbiology with time. Essentially, this all started many years ago when we were analyzing patients with gum disease, with periodontitis, and we realized that obviously some of them had some very pathogenic bacteria under their gums, which cause gum disease and they cause early tooth loss. So when we investigated these cases, we also looked at their host genotype. So we did a large investigation when we examined many patients with gum disease and healthy patients, and we took their genome. So we took blood samples, we analyzed some specific genetic variants in the patients, and we also analyzed which bacteria they had under the gums. And that's when we found out that there were certain genetic variants that were predisposing to the presence of certain bacteria under the gums.
Wow.
So that's when we started realizing that people didn't just have some bacteria because necessarily of environmental factors, but because genetic variants actually determined or had a large role on which bacteria would colonize your gums. So therefore, they would have an important role on which bacteria could cause gum disease and why you would lose teeth.
Well, now this makes perfect sense because we know that the initial seeding of the microbiome occurs as the baby passes through the vaginal canal and then later on through breastfeeding. So this makes perfect sense that genetics and microbial diversity would somehow be a hand-in-glove relationship, does it not?
Sure, absolutely. And we know there is a vertical transmission of bacteria. Obviously, you inherit lots of bacteria from the mother, but it's not just that. It's not just a direct transmission. It's actually the host genome affects the bacteria because it affects the environment where bacteria grow. So, for example, depending on specific gene variants in some interleukin genes, some people produce more inflammation. They are hyperinflammatory. So certain bacteria like inflammatory environments because they contain, for example, more iron. So they would tend to grow more in people that have this hyperinflammatory genotype.
Wow.
So that's what probably makes a difference. That's what makes a difference on why if you get in contact with a specific bacterium, maybe that bacterium will not grow in your mouth, but maybe it will grow in my mouth because of different genetic predisposition.
But now, is there a possibility of influencing a person's outcome by introducing certain microbes to the body? Will they, or is it kind of, when you were saying about the environment? I immediately think, well, you know, that's why, like, you can grow certain vegetation in one part of the world but not in the other part because the environment is different, and so the body's landscape is very, very similar. So, but is there a way to introduce and change the diversity of the microbes in a person and influence the outcome of disease?
Well, that's obviously the ultimate question. It's a very important question, and I'm afraid we still don't know that. But potentially, yes. I mean, if you look at things like prebiotics or probiotics or I mean, anything that could influence to some extent the biofilm might have a role. But the interesting thing is we've done some treatment studies in patients with gum disease, and we saw that although initially, for example, if you do gum treatment, you can reduce the amount of certain bacteria, the people who are predisposed to that hyperinflammatory genotype with time seem to go back and get the same bacteria they had initially.
Oh.
So treatment seems to have a transient effect, but then eventually, obviously, the host genotype will still have an effect on which bacteria you have. But if you manage to revert to health for a certain period of time, then at least with gum disease, it might be easier to maintain the number of pathogenic bacteria low so that you will not get disease again. So you may still get the same bacteria, but not necessarily get disease.
This is really, I mean, my mind is going a thousand miles an hour in multiple directions because we know autoimmune diseases, some people develop autoimmune diseases, and we know that they're closely linked to diet. We know, well, let's say the progression is linked to diet. We know that people with irritable bowel syndrome and stuff like that, when they eliminate corn and grain and even soy from their diet, they seem to get better. And we also know that there's an interplay between what you eat and the microbial diversity inside the body. So this yeah. also feeds to why some people are susceptible to diseases that have an inflammatory response, such as cancer and so on, and others aren't.
Yes, absolutely. No, you're right. Diet is very important. So we're not talking about just the host genome making the difference. It's a combination of factors. The host genome plays an important role, but clearly diet is very important. There's no doubt about that. I mean, at the moment, specifically with gum disease, we are a bit behind. There are some studies now on diet with relation to gum disease, but not much. But obviously, if you look at IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, there's quite a lot going on now, quite a lot of research effort towards that. So that's something absolutely crucial, how diet can affect the composition of bacteria. Because let's not forget, 90% of the cells in our body are bacteria. And in terms of the genome, there's a huge genomic diversity in our body, which has nothing to do with our body as such. It's just the bacteria colonizing us. So they are an organ. They're a very important organ, which makes us live, really, because they are vital to us. But together with the commensal bacteria, or the bacteria which are indispensable for us, there are obviously pathogenic bacteria, or there are also pathobionts, so bacteria that can act as symbionts or can act as pathogens, depending on the situation or depending on the individual.
We have to take a break. I've got so many good questions for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking right now. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. My mind is Dr. Luigi Nabale. We're talking about genetic dysbiosis, the role of microbial insults in chronic inflammatory disease. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The reason this government loves Monsanto, because we can no longer afford to do what we've been doing, which is giving everyone money to be our allies.
The war against Monsanto continues.
And there's an old saying, he who controls the food controls the population. You don't have to lift a finger or point a gun to completely control a population. All you have to do is control their food.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. Weekdays at noon.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Taking vitamin D without taking the MK7 form of K2 can lead to unwanted tissue calcification. A growing body of evidence shows cardiovascular and bone benefits from taking vitamin D and K2 together. Getting MK7 from the diet is virtually impossible. Doctor-formulated Leaner Living's K2 plus D3 product is free of soybean oil and GMOs, blended into a potent olive oil base that is the dynamic duo of fat-soluble vitamins. Save 10% off when you use the coupon code SA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Leaner Living banner ad today.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866- 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Let's stop for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Luigi Nabale. We're talking about genetic dysbioses, the continuation of discussions about the microbes that live in our body and what they contribute to us and what we possibly contribute to them. You know, Dr. Nabale, when we did a show recently on small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, it became very, very clear to me that we feed the microbes in our body, and they do us a favor. And in many cases, they actually help us metabolize certain foods. But in the worst cases, they spin off harmful molecules. So is this what we're talking about here when we talk about the genetic predisposition to accumulate certain types of microbes in the body may actually present us with a situation where we are mismatched for our environment, what we're being exposed to, what we're eating?
Yes, yeah, it's the bacteria that are predisposing us to diseases, if that's what you mean. And our genetic predisposition is predisposing us to having certain bacteria in our body. I think that there is a very good example on the effect of the host genome and bacterial colonization, which is about HIV. Because HIV, obviously, it's a virus that enters the human cells through a specific receptor, which is the CCR5 receptor. The interesting thing is that there are some gene variants in the gene coding for this CCR5 receptor. Now, depending on your gene variant, you can be more or less susceptible to HIV entry in your cells.
Mm-hmm.
So when, again, different people with different genetic variants, if they are subject to the same strain of HIV, they might respond in different ways. So there might be people that are more resistant to HIV entering their cells than other people. So I think, and if you look, for example, at people of Scandinavian origins, they seem to be less predisposed to having infection by HIV than, for instance, people of African origins, because of a different genetic variant, a different prevalence of these genetic variants. So this gives a clear example of how the genome can affect the way bacteria can colonize our body. Therefore, out of the billions of bacteria we have in our body, we all have different bacteria, different amounts and different types of bacteria, because we all individually have a different host genomes, obviously. So we select the bacteria that grow inside us and that, as you said, have very beneficial effects in some cases, but not so beneficial in others.
Well, but the reason that it's not so beneficial in others, and here's I guess what I was getting at, right? So we all have this,
yeah.
We all have this predisposition to have these specific microbes that are linked to our genetics in our body. What makes them, what makes them potentially good or bad is our environment. So in other words, if I, let's say I'm one of these people who is susceptible to an autoimmune disease because of my microbes. If I eat certain foods, I get the disease. If I don't eat those foods, I don't get the disease. So my microbial diversity and its linkage to our genetics is important to understand from the standpoint of maybe we can have a roadmap someday that says, you need to stay away from these things because these things, your microbes don't like them. They're going to produce toxic molecules that are going to poison your body.
That's a very good point. I think, again, that's where we're aiming. That's where we're heading, hopefully. In theory, a genetic test that can tell you that you're more predisposed to grow certain bacteria, so you have to be more careful with certain foods you eat or certain other things you do, like, I don't know, smoking or other habits, things like that. Ideally, yes, if we could develop this kind of test, and that could tell you... or at least it can give you an idea of your susceptibility to certain diseases and your susceptibility to the damage that maybe having a specific diet can cause, then obviously that would be ideal. That's what we would like to have in the future. Because, as you said, it's very important to point out that not necessarily having one bacterium, you will then have a disease, an autoimmune disease or another disease. And this is what we see, again, going back to gum disease. There are some very pathogenic bacteria that are able to cause a lot of damage to the gums and to the bone that holds the teeth. But sometimes we see these bacteria in the mouth of an absolutely healthy people that have no gum disease whatsoever. So the bacteria might be there, but there are other factors that are controlling its possible effect. So you wouldn't get gum disease. And the same applies to other autoimmune diseases you might be thinking of course.
Well, what is, I'm looking at the paper right now and there's a couple abbreviations that I'm not familiar with. What is PS? PS. It's a genetic
PS is the abbreviation for psoriasis.
Okay, good. So this is great. This is like eczema, psoriasis and so on. Talk about the relationship between a skin disorder like that and dysbiosis, please.
Yeah, so in the paper, we focused on four quite common human chronic diseases, one of which is periodontitis, gum disease. One is inflammatory bowel disease, so like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. One is bacterial vaginosis, and one is psoriasis. The interesting thing about psoriasis is that, again, recently, in the last probably 10 years, the research has moved towards understanding which bacteria or if bacteria can play a role in initiating psoriasis. And it seems, by looking at the differences between healthy skin and skin of patients with psoriasis, it seems like there are different bacteria living on that skin.
Mm-hmm.
When you do such a study, it's difficult to tell whether the bacteria that are there are causative or rather are the consequence of having the disease, clearly. So that more research needs to go into that. But I think we have quite good preliminary data for psoriasis that say that the presence of specific bacteria can generate an autoimmune response that would cause the scaly lesions typical of the skin of people with psoriasis. And the same applies to other autoimmune diseases. For example, one where research is focusing now is rheumatoid arthritis,
right,
which, again, is a very important, relevant, and common disease. And, again, interestingly, it seems like there might be certain bacteria which cause a loss of immunological tolerance. So if you have the bacterium, in this case, is It's called Porphyromonas gingivalis. It's a bacterium that lives in the mouth, especially under the gums. It's an anaerobic bacterium that obviously survives without oxygen, preferably. And it seems like having this bacterium in your body at a certain level, so a certain quantity of this bacterium, can cause an immune reaction that doesn't affect only the mouth, but can actually affect the rest of the body and can cause a loss of immunological tolerance to other bacteria. So something shifts in the immune system. So while initially possibly you had bacteria that your body could tolerate and was not bothered about having this bacteria, suddenly something switches because of a microbial insult, and suddenly your body doesn't recognize certain bacteria and decides to act against them. And that's obviously autoimmune disease.
Very interesting. And bacterial vaginitis is a problem that some women experience. And quite often the most embarrassing part of it is odor and discharge. And this, I've always suspected that this had to do with some sort of improper microbial accumulation in the vagina. And a lot of women turn to something like a douche, which may actually promote the problem to a greater degree by killing everything that's in there, right?
Yeah, because again, there are good bacteria that need to be there to prevent bacterial vaginosis. So it's the balance between the bacteria. And again, looking at the genetic factors influencing that, now there's quite a lot of research on inflammatory genes, so genes that predispose to having more inflammation, that seem to be predisposing to the growth of certain bacteria in the vagina, therefore to the onset of bacterial vaginosis. So similar to all the other diseases we've been talking about, really.
Right.
It's really the same concept. So you don't want to wipe out completely the bacterial communities there. That's not what's needed, because the competition between the good and the bad bacteria and normally the balance that one can have is crucial. So it's like in the mouth, it's the same thing. You need to have bacteria there,
right,
in the gut. You need to have the good bacteria, and possibly you need to try and promote the good bacteria as much as one can.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you, there's a lot of talk nowadays about mycotoxins and fungal toxins, and there's even some people out there who postulate that funguses are responsible for the changes that occur in the mitochondria that switch it to anaerobic glycolysis that lead to cancer. I want to understand, are funguses and the microbes that infest our body in any way similar? We're talking right now with Dr. Luigi Nabale. We're talking about genetic dysbiosis. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
So government mandates the use of this, and government says you should try that, but government doesn't do those things.
Listen weekdays at noon.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking right now with Dr. Luigi Nabale. We're talking about genetic dysbiosis. So, Dr. Nabale, are funguses the same thing as the microbes that occupy our body?
Well, funguses, potentially, they seem to also be associated with disease. And as you mentioned before, there is some recent research which is associating them potentially with cancer. Or specifically the mycotoxins rather than the funguses themselves, so products of funguses. This wasn't really part of the research we conducted. We're not really involved much on research on funguses, so I wouldn't really be able to go into the details of that. But potentially I think it's the same story really as for bacteria, because the link with cancer is very important, because we know that bacteria can potentially predispose to cancer directly, bacteria or more than bacteria, viruses with viral oncogenes, or they can have an indirect action, because by promoting chronic inflammation and also DNA damage, they can actually produce some carcinogenic metabolites,
right,
which can predispose to cancer. So again, one of the things we looked into is the possible effect of the host genome into the presence of bacteria that can then cause the development of cancer. And that's, for example, like Helicobacter hepaticus and other bacteria, especially for liver cancer. So there is certainly a lot of interest in this now, and we know a lot more now than we knew, say, 10 years ago, on the possible microbial cause of cancer.
What exactly is a term that I found in your paper that really intrigued me was infectogenomics. What is infectogenomics?
Yes. Infectogenomics has been defined as the effect of the host genome on bacterial colonization and bacterial proliferation in the human body. So it's quite similar to the concept of dysbiosis. It's something that came before, really, the concept of genetic dysbiosis. So with infectogenomics, we know that we have a genome that affects the infection in our body. And as I gave you the example of the HIV, it's more or less this, really. So when we come in contact with a bacterium or with a virus, we will respond in a different way depending on our host genome. But it's not just in the colonization, it's not just in the infection moment, it's also later on in the colonization. So the host genome affects then the way the bacteria, after they enter the cells or after they enter our body, how they would colonize, how they would proliferate in our body. So that's the term infectogenomics. Genetic dysbiosis is sort of a further development from infectogenomics, because it's not really talking about one specific bacterium or one specific infection, but looks actually at the effect of the host genome on biofilms, which is a lot more complex, because we know that the biofilms are very complex structures characterized by a combination of different bacteria in different areas of our body. So the biofilm is a very complex thing. And the dysbiosis means a change in the composition of a healthy biofilm. So whilst normally we know there might be some pathogenic bacteria that within a biofilm do not cause harmful effects, then when there is a dysbiosis, then there is maybe an increase in the prevalence of certain bacteria, or a shift anyway within that biofilm that suddenly becomes potentially pathogenic.
You know, it's interesting. So we did a show one time. We've done several shows about milk in general, formulas, and especially mother's milk, breast milk. And one of the shows we did, we talked about the biofilms in mother's milk and breast milk sequesters the HIV virus so that it's not passed on to the baby. And when we talk about biofilms, we're basically talking about these microbes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
The biofilm is something that you would have, for example, on your skin. It's something you would have in your mouth. So it's several layers of bacteria, which really almost act as an organ. They have very important functions. So it's aggregates of bacteria. It's not loose bacteria. For example, if you look at your teeth, on your teeth, if you look with the microscope, you would find several layers of bacteria that aggregate one on top of the other. And the biofilms are very important because within the biofilms there are different roles. So again, on the teeth, there are certain bacteria which are very good at sticking to the teeth. So they are the ones that would grow immediately on the tooth surface. Other bacteria have certain characteristics which make them very good at sticking to other bacteria, and so on. So you end up having like 300 layers of bacteria, one on top of the other, which all have a very important function, and they all act synergistically between each other. They all have their functions within the biofilm.
You know, one of the things that I've learned about evolution over the past 4.6 million years is that we did not have cavities until we started to farm. And part of the problem with farming was we focused on crops, one crop, where when we were hunter-gatherers, we accumulated lots of different things, tubers and so on, and nuts, and we ate a lot of different things. We had a very, very diverse intake. And of course, animal proteins and so on go hand in hand with that. When we became more tied to agriculture and farming, we would just grow one crop, potatoes, for instance. And we always grew crops, it seems, that had high starch content. And when we started eating these single crop diets that happened to be high in starches, that is when we started to develop cavities. Prior to that, they couldn't find any examples of cavities in, I want to say it started in Homo erectus, but I could be wrong. And so the reason I'm saying this is because we come back to this notion that there is some sort of symbiotic interplay between our diet and the microbes. We've done shows that have had suppositions that say, well, your diet actually influences the predisposition of microbes. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I mean, the evolutionary element of this, I think, is extremely fascinating, because obviously if you look back at the prehistorical times, you would find, as you said, a huge difference in our diet, and therefore in the diseases we had. because we need to think that the humans and bacteria and viruses have co-evolved, and our diet has had an important effect on which bacteria we had and which viruses evolved with us. Obviously, the advantage that bacteria and viruses have is that they evolve much faster than we do. So they can adapt to all sorts of different circumstances because obviously they have offspring much faster than we do. But clearly, if you look at the diet, that made a big difference. And one example would be, again, if you look at inflammatory bowel disease, many people would ask the question now, how come inflammatory bowel disease is so common now? Because you keep hearing about Crohn's disease and the increase in the prevalence of Crohn's disease.
Right, right.
And it seems like there are some theories that is linked to diet and bacteria. For example, when men started having milk, they started having infections due to milk as well. So people that were hyperinflammatory, so they had a hyperinflammatory genotype, were able actually to survive the infections due to infected milk. And these these has selected individuals now to be hyperinflammatory. If you understand the concept.
Right.
I don't know if I made myself clear
enough. No, you did, yeah.
So hyperinflammatory people that survived the infection linked with drinking milk survived, had offspring, so now there's a higher prevalence of people with hyperinflammatory genotypes, hence there's a higher prevalence of inflammatory bowel disease.
What you're saying basically is not everything that we have selected for is good for us.
Yes, obviously. Our diet has selected in a good and in a bad way, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the positive and negative effects of diet linked with bacteria. This is an example of how diet was linked with bacteria. Because clearly the evolution of the human disease is very interesting if you look at the prevalence of diseases in the past and prevalence now, and clearly linked with diet, definitely. And again, going back to the example of teeth, in prehistorical times, you would find the teeth would be very ground,
right?
But hardly any cavities, hardly any gum disease, probably because of a different diet, really.
I want to take our last commercial break. What I want to do when we come back is just try to discuss. You know, there's a growing trend of people taking probiotics and prebiotics now because we understand the importance of gut health, but it doesn't speak to diversity because there's some who say that our microbial environment was much more diverse a long time ago, and it's becoming less and less diverse, number one. And number two, if you think that there are really any benefits to pumping a certain microbe, I guess the term is phyla, into the body in an effort to try to overcome some of these problems. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenoir on Superhuman Radio.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique in record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Dr. Nabil, we have a sponsor on the show that I invited to come on the show after I started using their product, and it's called Aura MD. And it's a natural botanical oil blend that doesn't have anything that typical toothpaste has in it. And so I use it, and I went to the dentist just recently for my 6-month cleaning, and the hygienist said to me, you know, your gums have never looked better. And I'm not plugging the product. I want to be clear about something. This is not an infomercial. But what I want to say is it's clear to me. My gums were getting bad. I was getting a lot of plaque beneath the gum line. And I was having some minor bleeding when I would brush. And I use an ultrasonic toothbrush. And since using Aura MD for about a year now, the pockets have gotten more less deep or shallower. My gums look better. So clearly, there are certain things that we can do to predispose this environment to a more beneficial microbial balance. Would you agree with that statement?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's something we can do. Now, if we look from a purely scientific point of view, so if we look at the evidence from the studies, we know that the single thing that makes the biggest difference is the compliance of the patient, so how well you actually brush your teeth. So mechanical brushing and the importance of using floss or interdental brushes, that's the single thing that makes the biggest difference. Then there might be adjuncts. There are antimicrobials or mouthwash or toothpaste. These can all be adjuncts that clearly could potentially have an effect depending on the content. Although we need to stress that the most important thing is actually the way you brush your teeth. So it's important to see a hygienist to actually learn how to brush your teeth properly and not necessarily just brush the outside part of your teeth, but brush all around the teeth and especially interdentally in between teeth. So the mechanical action to remove the plaque that gets stuck between the teeth is absolutely crucial to prevent gum disease. So, yeah, no matter what our genetic predisposition is, there's a lot that we can do to prevent gum disease, certainly, as well as clearly other chronic diseases. And lifestyle and the how much we care about our health is probably the single most important thing.
What about the use of probiotics in general? Obviously, the diversity of the microbes in the gut are probably vast compared to, you know, the 8, 12, or 16 unique microbes that are being sold today over the counter in probiotic blends. Are these adequate? Most of them are lactase based microbes. Are these adequate, or are we just throwing a handful of grass seed on an acre of land and expecting it to affect the whole land?
I think that's a very good homology you're making, and that reminds me of maybe about 10, 12 years ago when some groups in Europe started doing some research on the use of probiotics in gum disease. And at the time, we were all very excited about that. We thought, okay, this is the new frontier now. Now probably we're going to apply some probiotic compounds under the gums of people, and we're going to stop gum disease from continuing. Now, this was 10, 12 years ago, and really it's been quite discouraging that since then we haven't really had any good evidence to say that that could work. There is some initial evidence in animal models that potentially you can reduce certain bacteria if you apply lactobacilli under the gum line. But as you said, there are so many bacteria, and it's probably quite difficult to affect them with some applications of probiotics. I think for the gut, for inflammatory bowel disease, again, there's a lot going on at the moment about it, which seems quite promising. But in terms of clear evidence, I think we're still way behind to actually be able to advise the use of probiotics for many diseases. So as I said, I think it's very promising. Maybe we will get there in some years. But at the moment, I wouldn't be sure that we have an answer.
I take a probiotic called VSL3, and each pouch contains 450 billion 8 unique probiotic blend. It's 8 non-overlapping, non-competing, but they're all lactase based probiotics. And I just got back from Mexico, and the past two nights I've actually taken 4 pouches, which is almost 2 trillion. You know, well, and I think to myself, that's got to be nothing. There's supposed to be like 6 pounds of microbes in my body. What can this really contribute? You know?
It's a good point. It's a good point. And I think the thing is that we still know very little. There are still a lot of microbes in our body that we don't really know because they are not cultivable. So we have no clue what they are. And new microbial techniques now are making enormous progress in the way we understand the microbiome compared to some years ago. So we are learning more and more, and we are finding out about new bacteria we had no idea existed, which might have a role in health and disease. So at the moment, really, our knowledge is very limited. Therefore, whatever we can do about it is very limited, I think.
Yeah. What do you hope that both clinicians and lay people take away from your research?
I think it's what they can take away is the fact that the knowledge that the host genome makes a big difference in the way we handle bacteria, so in the way we are predisposed to have disease. But at the same time, I think for the public, the most important message is that certain bacteria in our body can actually cause diseases. And again, going back to the rheumatoid arthritis example, it might be caused by an oral bacterium. So taking care of our hygiene, oral hygiene in this respect, is very important, not just to prevent gum disease, but potentially to prevent other diseases. So the importance of a good lifestyle, a good diet, clearly, and of really looking after ourselves, that's the most important thing. Because, yes, the host genome is very important, but there's a lot that we can do even if we are predisposed to certain diseases.
Yeah, I love it. Good research. Fantastic. And I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you for...
All the way from Italy. You're in Italy right now, right?
I am in Italy right now, but yeah, I work at in London, University College London. That's where the research took place, and that's where we're still working on it. But I'm in Sicily at the moment.
Ah, you're in Sicily. Now, my fiance is from Sicily. Profumo, her last name is. P-R-O-F-U-M-O, Profumo.
Okay. Yes. Very, very good choice, I have to say, Sicilian women.
Yeah, but you know what they say about Sicilian women? You can't, if they go to sleep mad, you wake up with a knife in your chest. Hey, listen, I want to thank you very, very much for being on the show. This is great research. And please.
Thank you very much for inviting me and for the interesting point in the discussion.
Thank you. Have a great day. All right, so there you have it. Also, we want to thank Dr. Annette Langer-Gould for coming on and talking about the linkage between hormonal contraceptives and multiple sclerosis susceptibility. And then, of course, Dr. Natalie Rasgen for talking about the effects of continuing hormone therapy on cerebral function in postmenopausal women at risk of dementia. And we have great shows planned for the rest of the week. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.